Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
To have you with us, everybody. So glad you're joining us Monday, February 13th, 2017. And the pages do turn, and they seem to turn at a more crazy rate as this business continues to be more just crazier. So anyway, it's good to have you with us and joining us on the podcast. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It's for mortgage professionals. I chuckle when I say it's for by mortgage professionals because, man, we are certainly not broadcasters, but we sure have fun doing this. And we're really honored that you take the time to listen to the podcast and make it a part of the way you do business. And so we have a lot of people listening in on by phone, and people listening in by link. You can listen on, go to the website. We've got a new website almost done. Man, I can't wait to get to launch this new website. Pretty cool. And we're looking forward to it. But we're grateful for the relationship with Blog Talk Radio and them allowing us to, or giving us the technology to do this. It's not perfect, but it works better than anything else that's out there. And hopefully this microphone's going to work and we're not going to have a lot of digitization as we've been having lately. But good to have you with us. Let's talk about conferences that are coming up. Oh, hot topic segment. We got Trish Megliazzo. Man, say that real fast. Megliazzo. Trish is a good friend, someone I've known forever. Going back to her lender one day, she's vice president of membership engagement at the Mortgage Bankers Association. We have an interview of her later on in the podcast in the Hot Topic segment. We're really talking about the importance of membership. You know what? Isn't this just an ad for a membership? Well, you know what? I really believe in it. Alice is a part of the MBA. Joe is. I am. We all are. And you look at this, I think it's really important that we come together and we join an organization, support what's going on. If we're a part of this industry, we should support our industry. And so one way to do that, of course, is through the Mortgage Bankers Association and the membership. So definitely listen in. There's some interesting things and a little teaser here for you. They have a special that they're offering for new members. I couldn't believe it. I go, man, I should have waited until I did this, until I heard that special. But they got a good one going. So listen to it. Also, special thank you goes to our sponsors, Arch MI, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program, and then Motivity Solutions, providing real-time reporting, dashboards, and scorecards. Belma, an efficient marketing, email marketing platform that helps your mortgage operation get your word out, as well as Simplifile, real-time electronic exchange of data, very fascinating technology they have, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network. And of course, our friends at D&H, they're moving into your world forward through technology, and they've been in business for 140 years, 5,500 employees, and 8,000 clients in 70 countries. I would say that's a successful operation. And check them out. Check out the Mortgage Bot product and all-in-one LOS that is also mobile-ready. You don't have to go out and get a separate app. You got it all right there in that app. Check it out at www.dh.com. Imagine that, a URL, a web address, only two letters, dh.com, or call them at 1-800-815-5592. Also, a special thank you goes out to each week, Alice, Andy, and Joe, and Paul, and Sam, and everyone joining into this program that makes the content of this program the reason many of you dial in. So anyway, let's talk about upcoming conferences. We have the National Servicing Conference coming up the 14th through the 17th. That's happening this week, starts tomorrow, and it's up at the Gaylord Texan in Grapevine, Texas. Also, we on the 22nd through the 23rd is the Mergers and Acquisitions, MBA's Mergers and Acquisitions Conference that is in Dallas. I am moderating the second day super session for that. Really looking forward to that one. And then also we have March 1st through the 4th is the Mortgage Collaborative Winter Conference. That's in going to be in Omni Scottsdale Resort and Spa. Love the spa part. at Paradise Valley in Arizona. I don't know why I got hung up with the spa part anyway. Anyway, and then there's also March 26th through the 29th, the National Mortgage Banking Technology Conference, the MBA's Technology Conference, up in Chicago at the Hyatt Regency. A lot going on, and for those, I'll be at the LMA conference as well. That's going on here the first week in September, second week in in March. So a lot of conferences, a lot of things going on. I'm really blown away at how many people are attending. 2,500 people are registered for the LME conference. So we'll be there. Look forward to seeing a lot of our clients as well as our listeners at that conference. Come up and check it out. I won't be doing a broadcast there, but we will be there. Also, the MBA conferences and education, check them out at MBA's website, and then also sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance. Joe Farr, good to have you here. Looking like it's kind of a nice, relaxing day here. We can almost kind of
take our feet back up the desk.
Kind of quiet. Looks a lot of squigglies on there. Looks like a little Richter scale activity, but nothing too much.
Yeah, but it's all around the down four number, and that's where we sit right now. So we're kind of we're down five, so we're just kind of right in the middle of the squiggly lines, if that's a technical term.
That's my term anyway.
Yeah. And over the weekend, there was some concern that Vice Chair Fisher might have something to say that would impact the markets, but apparently he did not. What he did reference was the Fed's position, basically, that they don't know what effect the Trump policies might have on the economy, and that with that they are just kind of in a wait and see mode. They'll continue to focus on what they see in the economy and on jobs and inflation. So, no big surprises coming out of there. The equity markets are doing well this morning. They're up over 100 points, and that could be part of the cause for MBS being down just a little bit. Last week was a good week for mortgage rates. For the week, MBS prices rose about 14-30 seconds. Most of the improvement happened earlier in the week. In fact, it was pretty much a straight-up line Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then it changed on Thursday, but earlier in the week, there really wasn't a lot of news. I think part of it was the good news coming out of the jobs report on the wage inflation numbers, and that just kind of continued on through the first part of the week. But then on Thursday, President Trump announced an announcement coming soon about a tax cut plan, and MBS prices dropped on that announcement. And there are a couple things. MBS prices fell for a couple reasons that are pretty basic. One is that a tax cut should stimulate the economy, or that's the expectation anyway. And that is bad for inflation, which is bad for mortgage rates, bad for MBS prices. And the other is that it likely will result in an increased deficit, at least for a while anyway. And so that adds a new supply of bonds, and that pushes prices lower and yields higher. So not surprising to see the MBS reaction to that announcement. The economic data that came out last week, it was really not much. I mean, JOLTS came out, and it showed little change. Consumer sentiment fell a little bit, but it was falling off a very high level. And then the Treasury auctions that occurred last week saw, strong to average demand. So this week we have a lot more on the calendar. We got Fed Chair Yellen begins her 2 days of semiannual testimony before Congress, and that could be market moving. PMI comes out tomorrow. Wednesday's got a lot. CPI comes out, retail sales, industrial production, all on Wednesday. National Association of Home Builder Index comes out on Wednesday. So that's a big day for mortgage rates. Now, the second day of her testimony, which will be on Wednesday, is somewhat less concerning or market moving, given that she's already provided that that testimony on Tuesday. Housing starts in Philly Fed comes out on Thursday. So, with the market being closed a week from today for President's Day, Friday being the end of a week and a long weekend ahead, has the potential to be volatile.
Man, lots of potential potentiality here for market movement. And I think we're going to see more volatility this year as we talk. Or in January, we had all the guests on talking about what's potential here. And so, no question, you need a service like MBS Quote Line to be able to stay on top of this volatility, manage it, monitor it, communicate to your borrowers what's going on. If you're not using it, check it out. We're going to be right back after a brief word on how you can sign up for this valuable service. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Yeah, free two-week trial. Recommend you try that out. We've got Paul Mallow on the phone. Now, this is something, we give a lot of this stuff free here, and Paul's got a free newsletter you just got to sign up for. It's very valuable. Got headlines on there, what's going on, does a great job. The whole group there, John Bancroft, Brandon Ivy, Paul and team, and I'm sure I'm leaving others out, do a great job on this. Check it out, folks, at imfnews.com, and you can subscribe down at the bottom. Paul Mallow, good to have you here, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
So can you hear me now? Any breaking yet?
Can you hear me? Yes. It's a tepid to interesting start to the week. You know, a lot of stuff happened. I took Friday off, and, of course, a lot of stuff happened on Friday. So it just goes, you know, stands to reason I take off. Everyone's watching, and I decided to put out all their announcements. We crunched some new MBS numbers. We took a look at Fannie Freddie underwriting standards based on the MBS figures for January. GSE purchase volume fell in fell 16.1% from December to January. And the refi side was down 21.9%. January actually was off to a decent year for MBS creation. But keep in mind, some of that was lagging from some of the other months when rates were lower. There's a lot of talk that purchases are going to be up this year. I think that's not surprising. And we're starting to get more information on the credit background of these new securities coming to market, and we're finding evidence that credit standards are loosening a little bit. We'll have more on this, I think, next week or in the coming days. We're still crunching the final numbers, but the good news is, at least for home buyers, that the some of the purchase standards are being eased by lenders using GSE loans, and that probably means less in the way of loan-level price adjustments. And we'll take a closer look at that soon, but just something to keep in mind. J.P. Morgan has got a new large non-agency MBS out there. We say it's sort of odd. It's non-conforming jumbos, and some of it includes a little on the way of conforming jumbos. JPM has been a real trailblazer when it goes to issuing securities that are actually backed by loans that are eligible for sale to Fannie and Freddie. You don't see a lot of that activity, but JPM has been a leader in that business. And there's a story on the website about that. Interesting story about a money manager called Senator Investment Group. They had a 5.56% stake, in Radian. They cut that stake to zero. I'm not sure what that means. They may have just, made some good profit on the stock and decided to get out. And that's not unusual, but we did note they went down to zero. IMA, In-Center Mortgage Advisors, they're a servicing brokerage firm in Denver. They have a new $1.3 billion Ginny portfolio out there. That's interesting because selling Ginny. Ginny Rights has been selling bulk Ginny portfolios has been a tougher task than selling Fannie Freddie. That's Tom Piercy's shop, I believe. And also we have an offering from Phoenix Capital. That's interesting, too, because they're selling jumbo servicing rights. You don't see a lot of those, and that's notable. And I know Prestwick's working on deals. I know Mountain View's working on deals. I believe MIAC is working on deals. So I think in the coming weeks we'll see more of those portfolios hit the market. We also have a short about Walter Ditech that's actually a link to a bigger story in one of our newsletters, Inside Mortgage Trends, talking about what lies ahead for Walter. They've been losing a lot of money. Earnings should be coming out maybe by the end of this month. When I talked to them last week, they hadn't yet given me a release for their fourth quarter results. It should be a telltale sign of what lies ahead for them. But like I said, they're coming off some, shall we say, weak quarters. They need to post a profit. They'll probably mark up their MSRs. And management, I would guess, will give some hints about what they're going to do going forward to sort of straighten that ship out. Friday came some news. We just followed up on it a little bit. Mark Calabria, who is with the Cato Institute, conservative think tank. Interesting news that he was named the chief economist to Vice President Mike Pence. And just days before that, he had a blog on the Cato Institute website about MBS guarantees and Fannie and Freddie. I suggest you read the website, read his blog. Wow. I guess the question is, will being named the chief economist of the vice president give him a seat at the table on GSE reform? And it sounds like it will to some degree, but that's going to be driven by the Treasury Department and Steve Mnuchin, who probably will be confirmed today by the full Senate, I believe. Mnuchin's going to be the guy in the driver's seat, but it's interesting that Calabria was named chief economist, and he's obviously been in GSE circles for quite some time and has a viewpoint on the future of Fannie and Freddie, and it'll be interesting to see what role he's going to play in this debate. So that's all the interesting stuff for today.
Good stuff. Lots of good information in here. A quick question for you. Some of the Hensarling's bill, some of the things going on through the Senate right now, any updates on what you're seeing on CFPB reform? Any movement? I know you're tracking all of that, but I just want to get an idea if you have any sense on what's happening there. We get several people asked and emailed me saying, could you ask Paul what's he seeing inside the Beltway there?
Well, you know, he's going to put a revised bill out to restructure the CFPB. There was hints of it in a memo that came out late last week, which Tom Ressler of our staff wrote about in our Friday Daily. I don't know exactly what's going to be in it. The question is, can they, you know, they can't do this through executive order. I know Trump is, asked to look at the regulations. The question is, can you, and we also have the PHH case, which is going to shape the constitutionality of having a sole director of that agency with so much power who doesn't really answer to the president. So there's a lot of wild cards pending. You know, he's going to come out with a bill. I don't know what's going to be in that bill. It's going to reshape the agency, obviously. Then you have the PHH case, which is going to shape the constitutionality of that agency and the director. So I guess the bottom line is whatever he comes out with, you know, don't think it's going to be the law. There's going to be a lot of debate in Congress. There's going to be some horse trading here. And then you got that case that's going to decide more. So, yeah, listen, brace for some change. I don't know what that change is going to be yet, and I don't think anyone does, but we can only speculate on what it might be. You know, the industry really wants, looser regulations to some degree. It's interesting you talk about looser regulations, and there's a lot of guys out there who are in the new emerging subprime space who like the ATR rule because it gives them legal protections.
Right.
Ability to repay rule, yeah. So, you know, they want some looser regs, but, you know, they also like that looser – they like that legal protection that the ATR provides them as an originator.
Right.
And that's something to keep in mind. So, anyway, for what it's worth.
I think we track all of this and look at what's going on. And I know you're good friends with Dan at Citadel out there. And I'm really interested in seeing, are you hearing a lot much noise on that front? Are we seeing the loosening up? What's Dan doing these days?
Well, Dan runs Citadel. He's one of the more active non-prime lenders out there. I talked to Dan last week, the week before, and I think he likes the ATR too because it gives him the legal protection.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked to the folks at Angel Oak. They like the ATR because it gives them that legal protection.
So
as long as, and these guys, you know, these are not the old type of subprime layers that almost crashed the United States economy. Last decade and almost the world economy. Dan, who runs Citadel, and the folks at Angel Oak, and there's others I'm not mentioning, but, you know these guys carefully underwrite these credits. These are not super high LTV loans. I think the numbers I got out of Angel Oak and Citadel, these, their average LTVs are, 70%. You know, they're not doing 5% down subprime loans. Those days are over, folks.
Yep.
These are carefully underwritten loans, and delinquencies of both those shops I mentioned are fairly benign, and they've been making these loans for 3+ years now. So that's something to think about.
It is. A lot to think about. You do a great job of covering all that we do need to be thinking about. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Check it out, folks. IMFnews.com. You can sign up for the daily email. It'll end up in your email box. You'll be glad you did. Thanks, Paul. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Appreciate you
too. Bye-bye.
You bet. Folks, we're going to be right back with Alice Alvey. She's got some updates for us. Very excited about that. But we'll be right back after a brief word from our sponsors.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to Simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Hey, good job, Alice. Good to have you on the program. Appreciate you being here, and I know how busy you are. What's happened, Alice? This, I don't know if it's this year, or, but it's just like someone turned up the speeds and the gears on the gerbil wheel that we're all seem to be running on, but it's been nuts. It's been crazy. I know you are very busy.
It is busy. Well, of course, we have the new flurry of bills hitting, and I'll just kind of segue off of what you and Paul were talking about at the end there in terms of, you know, where do we see this headed in terms of with the executive order that was signed, really to just basically study and investigate what are the options. And I think many of you heard out there that the older bill that was out, basically it was published in the prior session of Congress, so a whole new one would have to come out. It was the Financial Choice Act, House Bill 5983, that seems to be in discussion. But if I remember my Civics 101, we're in a new congressional calendar here, and so someone would have to pull that all back together. Now, that bill was over 500 pages and covered everything from SEC reform to touching on the FOMC, the Open Market Committee, repeal of the Volcker Rule, benefits for manufactured housing. It had so much in it that it was trying to really go after various parts of the Dodd-Frank Act, as well as establish the commission that has been brought about in several other bills. But it also went after several other things, trying to get rid of too big to fail. And actually, the part that was a little concerning in that bill was referencing ending the Fannie Freddie guarantee. And
yeah.
So that would be something I think as an industry we want to watch. Is there going to be balance from that bill compared to some of the things that the MBA has come out with? So at least we might see something get put on the table for discussion, but as Paul alluded to, it's all up in the air and there's nothing required as a result of the executive order. So as of today, you're still completing an LE and a CD and waiting 3 days before closing. Nothing's changing. There are about 19 bills out there that are making their way through various stages of just being sponsored and trying to move to committee. There is a Senate bill for the five-member CFPB board, and that's all that it would do. There are a couple related to FHAs, which, you know, a lot of times those bills are really just to help the constituency feel good that their, you know, congressman or senator is presenting something about housing. But I do like to watch those because I do think if we have some challenges in the market, sometimes there can be good things that come for the FHA product. So one of them was about, you know, you could get the reduced MIP with the housing counseling. If they won't do it across the board, will they make some exceptions there? Another House Bill 123 going after alternative credit ratings to help homeowners who don't have sufficient credit to be able to have some method to be able to get an FHA loan. So those types of things don't move a lot, but we'll certainly monitor them for you here in the beginning stages and keep you posted on anything that might get some real substance about it for any changes in Dodd-Frank. But right now we're just waiting. And, of course, there's the threats constantly of, you know, will Richard Cordray have a job any week now? I can't imagine working under those conditions. I guess you try and go through your day, but also plan how to defend yourself, too. So that's what I've got today from the legislative front, Dave.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Cordray. We're all looking and anticipating some changes there, but to what extent and where? But we know who we're going to get the information from, and that's from Alice Alvey. You stay on top of all of that. You do a great job on all this. It was fun presenting with you at the IMB conference in in Palm Springs. And just want to again say thank you for your contribution to the radio program here, Alice. I encourage people to bring you in, call Alice, get a hold of her. She is really as informative as she is knowledgeable and entertaining. When you're getting all the news, if you're having to get the news about regulation, which isn't always the most exciting, I'd rather get it from Alice Alvey. Call her at 1-800-278-0200. Alice, thank you so much. I know you have to drop and run, so have a great rest of the week and hope to talk to you later. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
That's so true. The power of the network. Join us, and we're going to be in Desert Hot Springs. What am I talking about? We're going to be in Scottsdale. Multitasking here, never a good idea. Read the script. Anyway, we're going to be at Desert Hot Springs at the National Conference. Let's get over to Sam Garcia. Sam is way up north there in Dallas. We're down here in Austin. Got some decent weather going on. Sam, what you got for us, friend? I love your website, by the way. And should we tell everybody, we got to tell them, mortgagedaily.com. Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're down there in our sister city, our almost as good a city as Dallas, of course.
Oh, there you go.
Hey,
that's going to get you in trouble. All
right, listen, I know you'll be talking about mortgage conferences later in this show. Yeah. I wanted to point out that Mortgage Daily subscribers can access Mortgage Conference Calendar that lists events by month.
I got to mention that.
So between February and April, we have around 60 mortgage-related conferences listed, you know, and they're linked to the conference websites, and many of them actually have stories that you can read with more details, like the cost and who's going and stuff like that. So it's real valuable for people that do like to travel and see what's coming up over the next few months. Last week, Flagstar announced that it would reached a deal to buy Stern's correspondent business. That's pretty significant because Flagstar says it'll become the fourth biggest correspondent originator as a result of that deal. The CFPB put out a report about complaints, and the CFPB said that for all financial services, complaints were down about 1% between November and December of last year, while on mortgage complaints, they were down by 5%. And if you look at more of a year-over-year deal, using a three-month average, overall monthly financial service complaints were up 12% from a year earlier, while for mortgages, they were down 1%. So mortgage lenders are doing way better than overall financial services when it comes to the number of complaints that are being filed against them. Last week, there were a couple of big executive moves in the mortgage industry. The first one was over at Quicken Loans, where they announced that its CEO, Bill Emerson, was moving to the vice chairman role at Parent Rock Holdings. So stepping up to the Quicken CEO position is Jay Farner, who's the company's president already, and he'll basically pass on his president title to Bob Walters, who is the company's chief economist. So some big moves over there, and of course Quicken's a pretty big player. I think they were number three on our last quarterly ranking for originators. Let's see. I also, as far as executives go, the second one was over at Radian. Richard Thornberry was named CEO, and he takes over from S.A. Ibrahim, who Radian announced in May 2006 was retiring this year. Our mortgage market index, which is an indication of upcoming loan originations, increased 12% last week. But the index, which is based on open close rate lock volume, has fallen 17% from a year earlier. Just based on the last week's activity, government activity, rate locks were up the most. They were up 18%. Ginny May reported some data, operational data, and indicated that its MBS issuance was down 11% in January to $44.2 billion. But despite that decline, the government-owned corporation's book of business grew to a record $1.79 trillion. So that's a pretty big number there. On Friday, the New York State Department of Financial Services seized Melrose Credit Union. Normally, I wouldn't bring something like this up, but the state, which cited unsafe and unsound conditions, the information from them indicated that Melrose Credit Union in New York has assets of nearly $2 billion. That's huge for a credit union. Normally, when we cover these credit unions that have failed, they're in the maybe some of them have been as low as $1 million in assets, but you never see them in the billions.
Yeah, not billions.
There was an interesting report that LendingTree put out last week. Basically, it said it analyzed 2 million loan requests that were processed through its platform, and it found that average interest rates, mortgage rates for Macintosh users were 3.93%. But then when you go over to Windows users, average 30-year mortgage rates were 4.06%, and they climbed even higher for Android users to 4.10%. So some of that disparity has to do with age and, how some people are in some categories are more comfortable than others. And, we've got new workers and maybe the Android category. But just thought it was kind of interesting. We got a little disparity there between users. So. One last thing, there was Franklin First Financial, there was an announcement last week that indicated that company and three of its top executives agreed to a $1.25 million settlement over how it handled FHA mortgages. So those were some of the biggest headlines we've had over the last week. Of course, lots more that we've got on site.
Oh, very good. I love what – so I'm just over at your website looking around. You're poking around as you're talking. I go, man, you got some good stuff in here. So – encourage you to definitely plug into it and check it out. So good job, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Dropped out there for a minute. I go, man, the everything works audio-wise until I start talking to you, and that's when things drop off. I go, uh-oh, it's happening. Anyway, thanks so much, Sam, for being here with us. Check him out, Sam Garcia. Check it out at MortgageDaily.com. You can also reach Sam at 214-521-1300. Or email Sam at samgarcia@mortgagedaily.com. Thanks, Sam. Have a blessed rest of the week, my friend. Appreciate you.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right, you bet. Well, folks, let's get over. Now, we've got a new voice. We've listened to Jim Jump here forever and talk about Arch MI's, their RateStar program. But we have Shawnee on, and Shawnee is someone I work with in the advertising area. She does a good job, but she's got a recorded message I'd like to play for you now.
Thanks, David. We're proud to be a sponsor of your program, and we're excited about the success of ArchMI RateStar, our dynamic risk-based pricing program that gives LOs a real competitive advantage. With RateStar, lenders can qualify more eligible first-time home buyers, including millennials. Reach out to them with revolutionary RateStar.
It is a great product. It's got some amazing pricing of what it can do for you and help your business. Well, let's get over and take a look at the KPI of the month. John Mayneal always gives us some great wisdom on KPIs. Again, stands for key performance indicators. So, John Mayneal, what you got for us this week?
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. And the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate our partnership with our friends there at Motivity. Folks, I had a chance to catch up with Trish and Megliazzo. And May, Trish is the Vice President of Membership Engagement. And I want to really encourage you to consider becoming a member. And here's why. So let's turn it over to Trish.
Folks, we're so fortunate to have Trish Megliazzo. Did I say that right? Meg?
You did.
Trish,
you did.
Megliazzo. We have Trish Megliazzo with us today. She's Vice President of Membership Engagement for the Mortgage Bankers Association in Washington, D.C. And I tell you, we're just, I don't know who's more fortunate. We have her with us on the radio, but the MBA is so fortunate to have this cheerful, just advocate for our industry and the MBA working with us. And so, Trish, welcome to the radio program.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. You and I are friends. We are so blessed to have that friendship. And but it's really based on your passion, our mutual passion for this industry, to help this industry grow. And you now have joined the MBA. Well, it's been a little while now. How long have you been at the MBA?
Yeah, you know, I've been at the MBA for a little bit over 3 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm listening to you, and we have that passion. We have passion for people. I think that's really what it boils down to, is the people, the relationships. There's so many great people in our industry, so I feel very fortunate, very blessed to be in this position. So, it's been over 3 years.
We're glad you're in that position, and we're glad to have you here. So for those – now, this listeners, you say, well, is this an ad for the MBA? Well, you could look at it that way, but it's really an opportunity for you to learn more, for those of you who for some reason haven't chosen yet to join the MBA, to really understand the importance of it. You sit and look at it. Every organization, right, we've heard this formula – 80% of the people are disengaged, and 20% of the people are doing all the heavy lifting. Now, I'm not sure we're going to get into some of the statistics, but we need more people listing and being advocates for our industry. This is such an important industry to our housing finance. I mean, housing finance is such an important part of the industry as it relates to the overall U.S. economy. And so being a member of this organization is really critical. So let's get into understanding and get in an overview of what the MBA is all about. So, Tricia, give us for an overview.
Yeah.
Give our listeners a little bit of insights of what the MBA is about and when it started, how long it's been around.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. MBA, my goodness, we will celebrate our 104, we'll be 104 this October, if I got that right. That's going to be our anniversary, probably around our annual convention, which will be in Denver. So, yeah, we've been around for over 100 years.
Wow.
We're based in D.C. We have a team of my colleagues. We have about 130 staff in D.C. at MBA, and who have multiple years combined in the real estate finance industry. There's definitely a lot of brain power in our office. I can attest to that. Dave Stevens is our president and CEO, who leads our group. And we as a whole, MBA as a whole, represents all of the market segments of our industry, which includes independent mortgage banks, community banks, credit unions, commercial banks, servicers, investors, et cetera.
Wow. There is a lot of components to this industry. And when you look at the membership, it's made up of several segments. And what percentage of the membership would you put these in various buckets?
Sure.
You have residential, commercial.
Yeah.
How would you break it out for us?
Yeah. So, you know, we have almost 2,400 member companies today that are active and engaged with us. And we have approximately 900 members on the residential side. And the majority of the residential members are community lenders, which are small to mid-sized mortgage banks. We have over 1,000 associate members, which are, you know, vendors, providers of products and services, consultants, et cetera. And then the balance is made up of commercial, multifamily members.
Okay, good. So how does this represent, what percentage of the overall industry? In other words, of all the companies involved in mortgage lending, is this the majority of them, or how would you relate to that?
That's a great question. So, you know, our research department tells us that we have about 7,000 or so HMDR reporters. And so, you know, we have a pretty good percentage of the overall market share in terms of mortgage lenders, but there's still a lot out there that definitely are not members, that are not engaged and active in our industry and working with us and supporting us and all of the above.
So 7,000 companies out there, is that what I'm hearing?
That are HMDR reporters, yes.
That are HMDR reporters, and we have 2,400. So we got some work ahead. I mean, you've done a fabulous job, though, because you've added a lot of companies here recently to the company, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But before we go there, let's talk about the benefits of being a member of the MBA. And I know you've added some in the last few years, have you not?
Yes, we really have. We've really increased the value proposition, to try and serve the members better overall. So, yes, would love to touch base just on some of the benefit pillars. So we have, you know, a really fantastic policy and advocacy team that consists of lobbyists, attorneys, and, you know, really highly trained staff that support our members and, you know, are the voice that drives change for our industry. We also have many committees that members can participate in to help shape policy and drive our positions collectively. Some examples are loan production committees, our residential technology committee, our secondary and capital markets committee, loan servicing, compliance. We also have a diversity committee. So those are very, very popular, and you could, you know, really be impactful along with your peers from across the country. So those committees meet regularly via webinar and then in person, typically in front of some of our key conferences. We've also formed some networking groups that are specific to members' companies' profiles, such as our Independent Mortgage Bank Networking Group. We also have a Community Bank and Credit Union Networking Group, as well as a Warehouse Lender Networking Group. And again, these groups meet monthly via webinar, and we provide the platform, the subject matter experts on topics that the members want us to present on, and then they meet in person at our key conferences, such as our IMB conference, our secondary conference, and then at our annual convention. And then we also have a very immense education platform, as many of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of.
Yeah.
We have, you know, a robust research and data platform as well that Mike Frattantoni oversees, along with Marina Walsh and her colleagues. We also have, you know, a lot of compliance resources, which, you know, is still of interest and top of mind to many of our members today. Ken Markison does a great job in publishing some awesome compliance resource guides. We have compliance webinars and programs and workshops through our education division. So that's always of interest. And two really fantastic compliance conferences that are twice a year, one in May and one in September. And then we also have affinity partnerships with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as well as cooperative partnerships. And we host 20 conferences on average per year. And then, of course, our peer group roundtable program that we co-host with the Stratmore Group, which is ready to get launched again this spring. So that's a lot, but that's just kind of a good summation.
It's a good I think the most important part, now, one of the things I think David and the team there have done specifically with you, and one that's near and dear to my heart, is the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference, what Pete Mills heads up, the CSVP of policy there. And that has really been a powerful organization. In fact, I'm doing a presentation for the group here coming up next week, or the week of this podcast. So it's I think these are the things. And when you really can get around and network with your peers and hear what others are going, what are going through, whether it come from the Stratmore group you do in conjunction with that, I think that's just, I mean, if you're running a business, you got to know what's going on with the peers. And I think to the extent that, yeah, it can be easy to make you feel better or worse about it. But let's talk about the numbers that we're looking at. 77,000 companies out there, 2,400 of which are members. How many members are you adding? You're having some great success since you took this over on adding new members, but we really need to add more. Talk about that.
We do, but we have been successful. So we've added more than 500 members per year the last couple of years. And I feel like, you know, we're really paying attention to them, and we, you know, go through an orientation with our new members. We have now an engagement team, and we pull in our colleagues from various departments to go through an orientation with, you know, the members' contacts, the key contacts there. We walk them through all the offerings to make sure that they are aware of all the resources that they have access to, and we tag certain people to make sure that, you know, we're ensuring that, you know, our programs are integrated, there's high utilization, and they're maximizing their membership right from the get-go, because, you know, that's obviously going to, you know, ensure high retention and, you know, making sure that we serve them as best we can. So we've hired a director of member engagement that works with me and all of our colleagues, and that's really been helpful. And so putting this new account executive structure in place at MBA, you know, that was Dave's idea, and it's really done well because that's a great way to serve mortgage bankers, and that's what they're accustomed to, instead of, you know, calling an 800 number. So that's been really great, and we love hearing from members. That was our goal from the beginning when I started.
So who you are the director of member engagement, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you are doing a great job, but talk a little bit about that, because I think that has been key to a bit of a renaissance, a bit of a growth, a new this surge of new members. So talk about when you these phone calls, this onboarding, when people start getting there, it's not just collecting dues. We're going to talk about dues in just a minute, but talk about the engagement. What is being done there? Get a little more detailed about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. So I stand corrected. So I'm the vice president of membership, and I hired Brad Podrasik, who is our director of member engagement. So, you know,
what's his name again?
I'm sorry, it's Brad Podrasik.
Okay.
And he and I have worked together in the past, and he's just a really great guy, and again, has the same mindset on, you know, serving the members well. It's fantastic. So when a member joins MBA, you know, we reach out to them within a couple of days, and then we schedule an orientation call, and we do a webinar, and we pull in someone from research, someone from education, someone from policy, obviously from engagement, and we walk through, you know, how do you maximize your membership? How do you get your key employees engaged? Here are all the things that you get as a member of MBA. They're complimentary, you know, because a lot of people really just aren't fully aware of that. So not only are we doing that with the new members, we're also doing outreach to the existing members just to do a refresh for them, because that is definitely overdue. So we're doing the best we can to try and reach as many members as possible. And then we also host every quarter, you know, and it's an hour in duration, a quarterly call that I host with, you know, Pete Mills, Marina Walsh, you know, Ken Markison, William Keeper, like all of our key colleagues from all departments, to really, again, do a deep dive into, you know, all the benefit pillars, what members have access to. And that's very, very helpful. We get so much great feedback because you get, you know, just feedback from, you know, everyone from different divisions within the member companies that attend those quarterly calls. We felt like it was the best way to kind of cast a wide net to really hit many, many folks. So that's kind of the process that we are working on. And then, of course, at our key conferences and some of the state MBA conferences that we attend, we set up meetings with our members, and we meet with them one-on-one. Again, how do we maximize your membership? Let's make sure you're fully aware of all the benefits. What do you need? How can we best serve you? So that's what we're doing.
Excellent. Very, very good. Let's talk about the due structure, because everyone goes, yeah, but how much is this going to cost me to become a member there? So talk about that.
So, of course. So basically, membership is company-wide, and it's not individual. And so for our lenders, we look at past origination and servicing volume, and then we have a fee structure that is based on volume ranges. And so I work with members. We make sure that cost is not a barrier, because, you know, we do not want that to be something that we have to combat, of course. And our goal is to grow the membership and get more people engaged in their own association that serves them. So I think we've been very successful. Obviously, if you look at the numbers that we're bringing on the last couple of years, that's working. And then starting this month, David, we have launched a 20-month membership for the price of 12 months or 8 months free. So it's a really good time to join, and the members get a renewal request 10-1 of 18. So, it's really been, received well. We've had a lot of members join the last couple of weeks as a result. And, who doesn't like 8 months of free membership or a deal? And especially in this industry, everybody wants a deal, right?
Yep.
That's
a great program. I've never heard the MBA ever do that before.
We're doing that. It's been great. They just want to continue to build and build membership, and I think we're doing a good job at it. And it's nice to have this offer, and we'll throw in a conference discount or a compliance resource guide, we feel is needed to help the members kind of get past the finish line and get them converted and finally decide to join and then get engaged.
Well, I think anytime someone does get engaged, they realize the benefit and they go like, I can't live without this. The value of the information, all the various resources, the benefits you talked about earlier, encourage people to go back and listen to that again. Tricia, this is really interesting and very important. What are some of the things that the industry or that the members can look forward to other than the conferences, which are just world-class, excellent conferences, but what can members look forward to as you continue to grow what you're doing? Anything on the horizon that we should look at?
Well, everyone's really, really interested to find out what's going on in terms of, the new Trump administration, what's our engagement in the regulatory community and with that administration. And so we're really doing a lot of updates in terms of our activity. Pete Mills hosts a weekly policy call for our, CEO executives, and he sends an agenda out in advance every Sunday. So everyone really has been participating in those calls. We're going to be promoting a We Believe campaign that we're going to have just for our members that will hopefully be unveiled with a launch here soon, which we're really excited about, with providing a lot of, marketing collateral to really put a positive spin around our industry, and we're excited about that. And some other things that I think we have in the works, but, all very, very positive. And really, a lot of it is based on member feedback as well. That's why we, started these networking groups and some of these, other calls and some of these other relationships, really is because of member feedback. So that's all working well.
That's good. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach you to hear more and talk about their specific situation, specifically what their dues would be? What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Sure. They could reach me at my office line, which is 202-557-2858, or my email is tsandtommiglazo@mba.org. Happy to talk to anyone at any time, so I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Folks, we've had as our guest Tricia Megliazzo, who is Vice President of Membership Engagement at the MBA. And I'm very grateful, Tricia, that you took some time out of your busy day to join us. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. I really enjoyed my time with you. Thank you so much.
Always have a good time and encourage others to get to know you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Folks, that was a great interview. I encourage you to consider becoming a member of the Mortgage Bankers Association. Next week's program, we're going to have Mitch Kiter on talking about mergers and acquisitions ahead of the mergers and acquisitions conference. There is going to be a lot of mergers and acquisitions in 2017. And I believe it's very important if you're considering it, even just in remotely interested in what's happening on this important topic, be sure to tune in. We've had Mitch and his sons on many times, or Mitch has been on many times. We had he and his sons on for Mitch and My Three Sons is what we called it. Remember that old program? We had Mitch on, but it was really good, and that interview is still being downloaded a lot. So appreciate you tuning in, telling others about the podcast on a regular basis. Our listenership continues to grow, and if you're interested in advertising, go to give me a call. I'll put you in touch with Bill Farmakist, who's handling all of our advertising for us now. Appreciate you so much. Have a blessed rest of the day, and look forward to having you back here next week, everybody.
This has been Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us again next week, and thank you for listening.